Hello, everybody. Welcome to another episode of the Worldwide Mix podcast, episode number 68. Yes, a different voice to start this out. I am Rafa, and as we are in a Tibbs mode, so shorter rotations, alongside me, I have Alex. How are you doing?
I'm good, thanks. Yeah. I was going to say thanks, Omar. You know, I'm just in last season mode, but yeah, no, it's good to see you. Obviously, I've seen you not too long ago when you made your little trip over to Bonnie, Scotland. But yeah, good to be back on the pod.
Yeah, we're glad to see you as well. So just before we move any further. So yes, it's just me and Alex now. Omar is taking a bit of a hiatus from the podcast, got too much going on, and so he's taking a little break. He saw too much Nick's Twitter, so he doesn't want to continue. No, I'm joking. But yeah, you can still continue following Omar and his pieces. He writes many sports content, you can follow him in a deepcoversports.com. That's where he posts everything he does sports related. He's still more than welcome to come over. It's still his spot, so let's hope we see him soon, just so he can relish on good Julius Randle games. As Alex was saying, I took a bit of a trip this summer. I've been away from Nick's Twitter. I'm more sane now. Can't say the same thing about Alex, but I went to Scotland and it happened. I visited Glasgow and me and Alex actually met in person. So I was happy to understand I'm not as short as I was given to lead. I was lead to understand, but no, I'm closer to the height of Alex, so I was happy because of that. But yeah, we got to meet each other after entire seasons of talking Nick's contact, crying over Nick's contact, fighting over Tom Thibodeau. So it was a pretty fun experience. He did try to kill me by giving me haggis to try.
You loved it, really. Yeah. But next time you're over, we'll go up to the Highlands of Scotland. If anybody's ever been to Scotland, two different experiences: being in the city and being up in the hills in the Highlands of Scotland. So next time we'll give you the other experience. So hopefully you can make it over soon.
Yeah, we absolutely fell in love with Scotland. As I mentioned to Alex many times, we fell in love with it and we want to basically move there. It's the done deal. It's not with Glasgow, sorry Alex, but Edinburgh is the way to go. Sorry.
Yeah.
Okay.
I should have been an Edinburgh boy myself. My dad was from Edinburgh, but ended up in Glasgow at some point. So there's like many close cities, there's a big rivalry as to which one's better, but it's whatever you want, whatever you're looking for.
I like them both. I like them both.
For different reasons. They're very different.
Yeah, they're very different cities. So, just share with you guys if we actually met. It's easier for us to meet than go to all the way to the United States to meet Omar. He actually is further away from us, so he's running away.
I'm constantly trying to talk my kids into going to New York for one reason or another. The latest development in that is that my son wants to go to Ohio just to see. He wants to go to Mr. Beast's house. Yeah. So
You need to show him Julius Randle going beast mode. He wants to.
Possibly, yeah. Or maybe just turn up at LeBron's house in Cleveland.
Exactly. He would be very welcoming. If you bring tacos on Tuesday.
Second choice to Mr. Beast.
Exactly. But I have to ask something, Alex. So as I mentioned, I've been away from Twitter a bit, getting back to it now. And Alex has taken the load of Nick's Twitter. How is your mental health? That's what I want to know.
Yeah, no, I'm glad you're back, put it that way. Me and Twitter have a complicated relationship. I've cancelled and deleted my account, personal account, several times. Said I'd never go back, but Nick's Twitter, as much as I slag it off, you know, it's good fun. And I've said to many, especially of the so-called toxic Twitter, you know, life would be boring if we all agreed and all thought the same thing. So they have their place, and you know, as long as it doesn't get personal, doesn't get nasty, then it's all good. You know, it's all good fun.
Yeah, normally don't see it getting personal at any level. It's just the more personal it gets is you don't know basketball. It's all good. It's entertaining at least. Shall we get into the Knicks?
Of course.
Why we're here. So Knicks off season, not as eventful as some people off Knicks Twitter and media would love it to be. We got Dante DiVincenzo. We re-signed Josh Hart. We still haven't signed Emmanuel Quickley. We'll get to that in a bit. But the big topic, we traded Obi Toppin away. It finally happened, but not remotely close to what I was expecting it to be. 2 second-round picks. So it was uneventful, but it was eventful at the same time. If you're following me. So, but let's leave the hot topics for later. Let's get juices flowing first. First the sign up, Dante DiVincenzo. What do you think, Alex? You're kind of guy.
Well, yeah. I mean, I kind of see that. You know, the Knicks recently have been trying to kind of stock up on these kind of do it all. You know, jack of all trades, master of none. I don't know if you've heard that phrase before, but it's basically guys that can do a bit of everything, but they're not doing anything at an elite level, particularly. You know, Josh Hart and DiVincenzo seem to be quite similar players to me. You know, they seem like they're going to be guys that are going to, you know, give their all, you know, certainly in the defensive end. And you know, just super reliable guys, and I'd expect both of them to come off the bench. But you know, that bench is kind of stocking up again, and it's looking pretty solid. I mean, if you're thinking about DiVincenzo as a replacement for Obi, well, we'll come on to talk about Obi, but yeah, I mean, Obi was very good at one or two different things, you know, and he was terrible at others, you know, and. Whereas DiVincenzo is that kind of guy that certainly a coach like Tibbs, who, you know, has his, I got into it with somebody earlier about, you know, Tibbs plays his favourites, but, you know, Tibbs just likes guys that, you know, he can send out there and trust and knows what he's getting. You know, with Obi, it was a little bit more, you know, just kind of not sure what you were going to get night in, night out from him. He'd be hitting three threes in a row, and then he'd be airballing one, you know, that kind of thing. I don't know. I think he's got these kind of solid, reliable players. And I think most importantly is these kind of players like Hart and DiVincenzo are going to be guys that if you have to include them in a big trade down the line, you know, teams that they're not just salary filler, you know, these are kind of players that can kind of fit and do a job for another team. So I think it's a little bit of that as well, that, you know, they're trying to get these guys in and on deals that are, you know, like we heard all summer about how Fournier's contract is a good value for filling in for a big trade. Well, so would DiVincenzo, so would Hart down the line. Do you know that kind of figure, that kind of production that they can give you? I think that is going to be pretty valuable as an asset side of things. So I'm not totally convinced that either of those two guys are going to be on the Knicks long term, but certainly they fill a need right now where we're fighting and scrapping in playoff games. But these are the kind of guys that you want. You know, you bring in a DiVincenzo instead of an Obi. Well, you know, that's the kind of guys that you want kind of in the trenches in the playoffs, you know, that can give you that kind of defensive production.
Yeah, I mean, I understand the type of player, and I agree with you about how DiVincenzo is that type of player that can defend, can shoot the ball, which is, to me, the greatest asset he brings into this team is the shooting the ball. And he is not scared of shooting. That's the main difference I see with him from Josh Hart is he is not relented to shoot. He shoots the ball when he has a chance. He showed it a bit in preseason. But he is also not the guy the bench guy I was expecting, considering the trade we made. You know, I don't like this. We don't know who plays. We're playing smaller. We're trying to play smaller in a time where the best players in the league are big. So, you know, there's a new guy in town in San Antonio who's kind of large. There's Giannis. I think we might have a tough time adjusting to the idea of not having a full-fledged power forward, because as much as Obi was flawed, he gave us something in that second unit that no player can give us right now, just that burst of speed, those breakaway dunks he used to give, giving the energy to the team. So we need to find that somewhere else. But so
Derek Rose as well. You know, the Derek Rose, losing him as well, gave that kind of different dynamic in the second unit.
Yeah. Second unit, we're always trying to adjust. And I'm saying that DiVincenzo is not a good player. I think he will have good games for us. He will have, if it happens, is the way I'm seeing it happen, DiVincenzo being in that second unit with RJ and Quickly, if it stays the same lineups, rotations Tibbs used to use. Obviously, someone else is needed. I don't like Josh Hart with DiVincenzo, RJ, Quickly, and Hartenstein. I think there's I don't know how to feel about that, but DiVincenzo might be a better fit with Quickly and RJ than Hart was. So I see it that way, but I still think if we sign Josh Hart, I thought that with a power forward was incoming, another guy who can play the four when needed, to play those 15 minutes that we needed it when Randall is resting. And especially considering that Randall just came off of ankle injury, and we saw in the playoffs, Obi had to play more. Betting all our chips and the guy who's just recovering from an ankle injury to stay healthy might be a little, I don't know, too much. And that Jericho Sims Mitchell Robinson combination is just wild. Tibbs has lost it. He has lost it completely trying something like that. DiVincenzo, back to him. He's a good player, but he's not the player I was expecting us to get. He will help, but I think this will be that second unit needs to get a feel of what the type of five unit they will be. And that will take time, and you will see maybe struggling minutes from them. And so I'm a bit skeptical on that front. But DiVincenzo is a good player, played with the Golden State Warriors, the Bucks. So he knows his role. Again, he's another player who knows their role, which is important. And obviously the Villanova connection with Brunson and Hart and everyone else always adds up and brings there's no problem in the locker rooms, basically. That's what I'm trying to say.
You mentioned his shooting earlier, and I agree, but from what I remember, his shooting numbers are a bit all over the place.
I mean, comparing to the numbers we had the last couple of years, he's the best, you know? So don't rain on the parade, man.
I'm just bringing up his numbers. Hold on. I mean, we're really talking about three-point percentage. So it's last year,
40%.
Last year it was nearly 40%. up from 37%. Then it was 28% the year before, 33%, 38% the year before. It's a bit,
I mean, is he the best? Isn't that the best number the Knicks have? Like, with so terrible shooting, we saw that throughout the playoffs. And if he can hit two or three, okay, it opens up the floor and put him in. And so, yeah, I mean, it's better than what we have. It's better. It's improvement. Yeah. Let's hope.
Wouldn't be difficult. Yeah. Do you remember the days when Hart first signed and he didn't miss a three-pointer for quite a while, and we were like, this guy's a sniper, you know? And then
he takes like three triples a month. So, okay, if you hit all three, you get pretty good percentages. That's the thing with Josh Hart. He passes it. He's a pass the ball first, then shoot. Mm-hmm. And sometimes he's open, shoot the ball. I think it's a similar problem, not bringing him in here, but with Grimes. He's open, take the shot.
Yeah.
Doesn't matter if you miss. If you miss it, you're just another one missing. Doesn't matter. Look around, man.
It seems like he's going to be given the green light, I think, just to fire away this season. So he seemed to be towards the fact that, he's had a bit of a change of role this coming season. So I think we're going to see a bit more of him, and hopefully takes a bit of a leap, because I think, as I mentioned to you on the chat recently, I think that there is a little bit of pressure on him. Certainly if Quickly stays around, that, if he starts off slow, then, I don't know if he maybe his starting role will start to get a little bit under pressure.
Quickly starting? You said
possibly.
Instead of Grimes, I don't see it as much as Quickly's play improves, and he's still a hell of a player. That bench role he has is perfect for what we need.
Mm-hmm.
And, well, we can tie it up perfectly with with Quickly, because he still hasn't signed. What's up? The Knicks still haven't done it. It's we're struggling here. I don't know if he's staying a season. He's getting getting traded. I don't know. And because this is what I was going to say about Quickly, because he's in the perfect Quickly right now for us. He's in the perfect role, the role we want him to be. Guy coming off the bench, he was runner up Sixth Man of the Year. That's what we need from him, especially when we got Jalen Brunson on the team. So he's not moving upwards with the Knicks. Only if he outplays Jalen Brunson and we trade away Brunson. So we got an impasse. I said it. When we get Jalen Brunson, it's okay. We got Brunson. He's better now. But he's in the room of Quickly, the room we wanted Quickly to be in. Because he had Kemba and he had Elfrid Payton in front of him. And he had Derrick Rose. So he never got him. When he supposedly Quickly was ready to take the keys, you bring in Jalen Brunson. So in Jalen Brunson plays out of his mind. Out of his mind. The biggest all-star snub in a while. So
for sure.
Yeah, you have this problem right now with Quickly. If he wants to start somewhere else, and legitimately he can start somewhere else in another team. We talked about this before. Depends on the money he wants. And I bet someone is in his ear. You can get more money and start somewhere else instead of the 80 that reportedly the Knicks want to give him. So it's a battle. The gap is between, it's reported from 80 million that the Knicks want to give, but he wants three digits, 100. There's a little bit of a gap there. I don't know if...
I wonder if they'll kind of offer him an extra year or something just to try and get him signed on. I don't know. Or if the Knicks are doing their usual and maybe trying to offer him a team option in the fourth year or something like that, then there'll maybe be a bit of movement on that. But I've said before, that's as close to a hot take as you'll get from me, but I can't see Quickly being around the next long term. The main reason, not because I don't like him as a player, I think he's got a lot of good attributes, but if the Knicks are looking to make this kind of big move, as everybody keeps talking about, then I would almost see Quickly as one of the, probably the biggest asset on the team that other teams will look at and think, you know, he can play a big role in our team. Because as much as Knicks Twitter likes to make up these fake trades, a lot of them are, here's all our rubbish players, please give me your multi-time all-star MVP candidate, please, which is not how it works. Do you know, like, you're going to have to give up something to get something. And I think Quickly, because he's not fitting in a starting role, is somebody that we potentially could give up. RJ's the other one, you know, that you would say is, you know, like a player that other teams would be looking at and think, well, if we're giving up, I don't know, an Embiid or a Cat or somebody like that, well, then we want something good in return. And generally what these teams want is good young players on potentially rookie deals or certainly a good number on their first contract like RJ is on. Yeah. So I think we just got to be realistic that if the trade is happening, then we're going to have to give up something good. It can't just be all picks and Evan Fournier.
No, absolutely. And you're talking about the giving players up, the players we need to give up. We had, in my opinion, four young players that were good enough to put in these trades. One is gone, playing in Indiana. The other is untouchable, we mentioned before. So it leaves two. It's Emmanuel Quickly and RJ Barrett. I mean, as much as it pains me, I've made my peace that RJ Barrett will eventually be traded.
Mm-hmm.
It's because it's the way we are building. Randall stayed, and he deserves to stay over Obi Toppin. That's not even a conversation. Yeah. It's not even a conversation. Who thinks that's a conversation? Come on. And then there's Jalen Brunson, if Jalen Brunson didn't play as well as this, okay, that would be Quickly would be. Okay, Quickly, don't worry. Brunson's here, but he'll leave and you'll stay with the team. You'll just get it together. But Quickly isn't dumb. He sees what's happening. Okay, how can I take this man's job from this team playing these minutes? How can I do it? I mean, he's seen the picture. I think he would like to stay here. He would love to stay here. I think that he knows the fans love him. He loves the fans, and he seems happy and everything. It's a team going into the playoffs and everything. It's a growing team. So, yeah, I think he wants to stay here. But
plus he's,
as I always mention.
I mean, I know he's coming off the bench, but I mean, he's getting near on 30 minutes a game. And he's playing a huge role. He quite often is a closer in the team. He's not a starter, but he's a closer. I'd rather be a closer than a starter if I was a player.
But that's the thing. We are talking about $100 million. $100 million dollars for how many years for a sixth man of the year? Ooh, that's steep. Oh, $100 million for or more for a starter, a young starter. Yeah, that's okay. I mean, they're young. Okay, I'd much rather have be a sixth man on a contender than a starter on a rubbish team. But the money gap is way too big.
Yeah.
And they got to look at it. It's not like change jobs from Glasgow to Edinburgh for 100 euros or 100 pounds. Sorry. It's like, yeah, that's maybe not worth it.
Yeah.
Okay, change your jobs from Glasgow to Edinburgh for 5 million. Yeah. See ya.
Yeah.
It's big money.
Yeah.
Players need to take gambles on themselves. And I'm saying this like I know Quickly is leaving. I don't want him to leave. As much as I hated on Quickly before, I think he's a perfect fit right there for that unit. As much as he pains me in sometimes, can get space from the gather guy. Please. But yeah, I think it's a tough situation. I think we reached that place where the front office made their choices. And the choices are Randall, Brunson, and so there's guys who are out the door who can't really resign. Quickly, RJ has resigned, but he's always the guy on the rumor mill. We just saw it, the crazy trade. I'm not even believing I'm mentioning this, where it's RJ quickly, 200 picks, first round picks for Karl Anthony Towns. Like it was five picks, not hundreds, but it was five picks, and there were the two of them. It's undeniable that they're the two. If a trade happens, if it's Embiid, if it's Paul George, whatever, whoever it is, they're the guys going, and I absolutely agree with you on that front. Yeah.
Yeah. Although, I mean, it would make a lot more sense if there were, you know, for Randall to be in the deal for Kat. Having Kat, Randall, and Mitch on this team, and then giving up, you know, the Wolves giving up Kat with, you know, leaving them with, I guess they do need guards, but, you know, leaving them without a power forward of significant value. I don't know.
They have no need for RJ, for example. They have Anthony Edwards.
Yeah.
So that doesn't they get sense. Edwards. Randall, they would absolutely love to have, I think. Absolutely love to have Randall. Randall playing with those guys, yeah, absolutely. I don't see it. Randall would make sense. RJ and Quickly would, oh yeah, okay. RJ does it for them. I think it doesn't work well, unless they put him into the shooting guard spot. And I don't know, especially with the beef he has with the players in Minnesota. I don't know.
Yeah, I mean, if you're getting a contract like that off your books as well, I think it's a bit rich for you to be starting to demand all sorts in the deal. I understand that Kat's a really good player and everything, but we shouldn't be overpaying for a contract like that. So they should be thankful to get that off the books. And just far too rich, that offer. Although the picks obviously would have been protected, but yeah, giving up both quickly and RJ seemed a bit much.
Yeah, especially for a guy that, I mean, Kat is a hell of a player, yes. But in this moment in time, the Knicks going for a star, that's a guy who's never accomplished anything better than the Knicks accomplished. Well, I think we did better because we actually won a playoff series. So we're getting players who are on the same island, you know. I think it needs to be someone better to elevate the rest of the players. That's my idea of it. Getting a star that actually gets someone or someone older who can provide quality minutes that actually has done it, though, like reached the top or close to the top. And his best season was with Tibbs, and then he got mad. And Butler and whoever. So
I'm a little bit skeptical. Yeah, I'm very skeptical of it. I mean, there seems to be a lot of smoke with it, but, you know, the fact that Tibbs has had, I know that they talked about how they've patched things up, but the fact that he's had issues with him in the past, fact that, you know, that contract is on its way, that $60 million contract or whatever it is on its way, it just doesn't pass the smell test, as you say. It just doesn't seem right. Especially if, you know, Randall's not in the deal, it just doesn't seem right at all.
He's a good player. Yeah, I'm just saying, I much rather had Embiid than have in a market availability, in a market thing. Embiid is much more marketable in New York than Karl Anthony Towns.
Yeah,
Embiid with it, those shenanigans with the New York crowd behind him. It's shenanigans all over. I would have fun, absolutely, not watching the games, because I talked many, many times, we all did, how boring it is to watch the Sixers with Embiid and Harden. Harden not anymore, but Embiid. I actually tweeted this. It's funny how people complain about Julius Randle. Oh, Julius Randle is boring to watch. I would much rather watch Obi Toppin. So who's the star you want to trade for? Joel Embiid. What the fuck? Embiid is boring as hell. Please, it's if you I mean, want like, fun basketball, don't you don't get Embiid.
I mean, we should never envy the Sixers fans, but or feel sorry for them. That, but they've gone through in the last decade or so. They've gone through years of the process where they're losing ridiculous amounts of games every year, you know, and then they've gone through the drama with Embiid and Simmons, and Simmons is eventually gone. They've then got Harden. They've gone through the Harden drama as well, and now they're good. You know, the Embiid thing's going to blow up soon as well. It's just like, my God, imagine when we talk about the Knicks being dysfunctional and everything, that whole situation's just an absolute nightmare.
Imagine the chance they had to win it all, because they would have won it all, I think, as well. It was the year that Game 7 shot from Kawhi Leonard with the Raptors.
Yeah.
If that trade never happens, I believe Embiid would have a chip.
Yeah.
And Ben Simmons, and the things would be totally different, because that the Golden State team completely injured was history. But let's get back to the Knicks. It still involves trading, and we talked about him a bit, but Obi Toppin again finally got traded from the Knicks. We've been saying for how many years he was going to get traded. We got it right, not the right year, but. We got it. We got one right. He was traded to the Indiana Pacers for underwhelming 2 second-round picks.
Yeah.
We drafted Obi Toppin, 8th overall, to be the starting power forward of the future. Then Julius Randle said, not on my watch. I'm going to be become an all-NBA player out of thin air. he got rid of the spin move of doom. And just 2 All-NBAs in 3 years. Not bad. And so Obi Toppin, well, had no chance, and he's gone. I think he's the perfect fit with him with Indiana. It is absolutely fast-paced. Him and Haliburton, it's amazing. If people wanted to pick Haliburton, the Knicks pick Haliburton, not Obi Toppin. Now Indiana has both. So, the perfect fit there, I think. I'll just give my take right away, but then let you go, because I would rant. So let me just keep myself in check. He will be a perfect fit. He will play tremendous games. He will still be the same Obi Toppin with good offense, terrible defense, and boneheaded plays all the way. He dunks on one end and just loses his men on the other. So he will never, well, might be a hot take, and in a few years someone will clip this, but Obi Toppin will never be close to the level of Julius Randle. I don't think he will ever be all-NBA. He will be a good player for the Indiana Pacers. He will have his merits with them, but looking at what we have to pick from Julius Randle and Obi Toppin, I don't think it's even a contest. I'm sorry for Obi. I was calling him Obi-Wan because he was a chosen one. He would be the future. But Randle said none of that. And we have, well, if he continues on this trend, on this trajectory, he will be one of the greatest Knicks in the last few years. I got killed on Twitter because it was my return tweet, by the way. He is more important for the Knicks than Carmelo Anthony. Maybe not as a pitch of salt on that one. But he achieved the same thing in 3 years that Melo did in how many years? One playoff series win. It's all Carmelo has to show. And so that's who Obi Toppin has to compete with. I don't think he stood a chance, to be honest. And Knicks Twitter will be insufferable this year every time Obi Toppin does something remotely good. And, Randle is better. Sorry, guys. There's no way to put it. Randle is better and will always be better than him. Maybe in a different future, in a different, not future, sorry, in a different parallel universe, so I'm trying to say, we would have a starting unit of Mitch, Obi Toppin, RJ Barrett, Grimes, and Emmanuel Quickly. And the Rebuilders would be on Cloud Nine. But no, we had to go. We wouldn't re-sign him. He wouldn't re-sign here because he wants to play for those minutes. So he's out. I mean, there's not really much to say. I mean, it doesn't bother me that he left because, again, Julius Randle. I think it pains me much more the situation with Emmanuel Quickly if he leaves like this than with Obi Toppin. And my rant checked. I'm done, Alex. Sorry.
That's fine. No, I was just gonna. I totally agree with you. I was just thinking there that Obi's rookie season was the first year that we did this pod, and you know, it's a well known thing. You know that they drafted Obi maybe thinking that Randle was on his way out. Randle had that great season the first year we did this pod. You know, Randle was playing out his mind, and we had a big discussion then about, you know, how Obi, you know, Obi was almost unplayable that first 6 months. He was absolutely terrible, like all over the court. He looked like he'd never played basketball before. He was terrible. I remember saying on the pod, this guy could seriously be a bust. Do you know, like straight off the bat, I couldn't believe it. He was supposed to be coming into the NBA. I think he was pretty much one of the most NBA-ready players in that draft, maybe because of his age, but just because of his style of play, he was ready to go. His body was, you know, he was ready to go. But I couldn't believe how long he took to kind of get accustomed to the league. And, you know, towards the end of that first season, he did start to come through. And we had a lot of discussion at the time on the pod that, you know, that he was fine. You know, he was still had the 4 years of the rookie deal, where we could bring him on slowly. Yes, Randle's turned his career around, and you know he would cut the. And we said he would come a point where he's going to start thinking, I'm going to want to start. I'm going to want this. I'm going to want that. You know, agents are going to start to get in his ear when it's coming up to, you know, his contract extension and things like that. And this is exactly how it's turned out, you know. And I don't blame him at all, you know. And I don't blame his agents as well. If agents have been in his ear, just saying, you need to start, you need to do this, you need to do that, you need to demand this. And I think the Knicks, I've just thought, well, you know, Randle's here. Randle's better than him. You know, why wouldn't we put our chips in? Yes, you know, Obi's going to have to just accept that. You know, he's maybe not that level of player that everybody thought he was going to be, but he didn't seem willing to accept that kind of role-playing position. You know, he was on, 15 minutes a game or whatever, just as having that kind of spark off the bench, as you said, a different style, a different kind of, you know, faster pace with IQ, with Rose at the time. You know, that was a really kind of dynamic bench unit, and I thought it fitted him perfectly. Obi's not the sort of guy that you want to start in the kind of half court and the as a starter and kind of a slower pace like that. He's that guy you want to bring on and really kind of up the tempo. But it didn't work out, and as you said, he seems like a cool guy. It was a shame it didn't work out. It just wasn't the right place for him. That can not want to talk about Tibbs one more time, but Tibbs gets the blame for not developing him properly. And you're just like, he just didn't fit. And whether that's Tibbs' system or whatever, you can say, but I think, you know, more of the blame goes down to the front office, just with not seeing where there was a need, what position there was a need, what style of player there would need. You had a coach that wasn't going anywhere, so why would you pick a guy that just didn't fit the position that Tibbs needs? Yes, maybe Randle was going out the door at the time, but you know, even then, I don't think Obi would have fitted Tibbs' style anyway, generally, for that kind of starting level player. So I think, you know, more of a blame should go down onto the front office for Roby. And as for, you know, Tibbs never gave him a chance or whatever, if you're talking about over 200 games with the Knicks at 15 minutes a game, you know, you had an opportunity, and a little bit of he didn't fit the style, he didn't fit the system. Plus, I just don't think he took his chance. He didn't really improve his game at all over the time. He was pretty much the same player after he came out into the league as he was when he left the Knicks. Didn't develop really any kind of post moves. Certainly didn't improve in the defensive end very much. Yes, he had a bit of a three-point shot, but from what we're told in his college days, he had a three-point shot in his college days as well. So that's not exactly something he's just developed while he's been in the Knicks. So, yeah, I've just been kind of disappointed development-wise. And development doesn't just come down to the coach. Development comes down to a personal thing. Most of these guys have got their own personal coaches in the off-season. Do you know what I mean? They want to learn new moves. That, you know, they don't go to Tibbs to do that in the off season. They go and on their own personal coaches. They go and, you know, hire certain people and kind of learn new stuff. You know, and when they come back into training camp, then that can be obviously brought into the team. But yeah, I was just a wee bit disappointed in him that he just didn't develop himself in the way that he could have been given more of an opportunity in the team. Certainly defensively, anyway.
So, I'm sorry, Alex, but I cannot let this slide about. You have been talking praise about Tom Thibodeau for too long. Yeah. He needs to share some blame.
Sure.
Not to the non-development of Obi Toppin, but in his it didn't help, basically. But his his stubbornness of playing him more minutes in games he deserved. That's something he was, to me, in some games, at fault. I mean, how many times have we talked about, oh, look, we lost this game because all the starters were gassed. Randall was absolutely gassed. He couldn't do anything else. Well, there's something there he could have done. Like, Obi Toppin who gave him, in some games, not all games, because you talk about how inconsistent he can be, but in some games, he would demand more playing time. I mean, those 10, 15 minutes a game, it was that. Obi Toppin comes in, three threes in a row, just playing good defense, playing good. It's that time. He's on a leash. So then that's the rotations Tibbs uses, and it's always the same. He never changes anything. We've talked about this at length, and that did not happen. That did not help Obi Toppin. Like, instead of getting 15, if he got maybe some games 25 or 20 because he's playing well and Randall needs a rest because it's a back-to-back, okay. But that never really happened. Maybe Tibbs didn't trust Obi enough.
Yeah, and I think that's what Obi.
Yeah, I get it. And games Obi was trash. Obi was real trash. It's wow. And but games Obi was hot and was playing well, the scram defenses didn't know what to do with him, he still got taken out. So that's something I can always point at Tibbs for doing with especially with Obi. Obi always seemed on a leash. Quickly can do as much crap as he wants. He will always get those minutes. Not in these last playoffs, he actually got shortened, but yeah. But I agree with you, the front office is to blame in some of it. I understand that having a rookie deal on a team for 4 years is better than having to pay someone else to fill that void at power forward. But if you traded Obi Toppin before it, you would have gotten more than two second round picks. That's my thing. It was too late to trade him. Everybody knew he was outdoor. Like, trade him. Okay, if you're seeing Randall's playing so well, and if you believe in Randall after that second OB season where Randall thumbs down and all that jazz, if you know you're going to keep Randall, trade Obi Toppin there. He had a good second year, third year. Obi Toppin was improving year by year. There's development there. People say he didn't develop. He developed, but his development is limited because he is not a number one pick or two or three. He still was number eight for a reason. And actually, Knicks fans want him to be 10th or 11th because they wanted Halliburton. So, yeah. So it's just unfortunate what happened with I would like to say it's done, but it's far from over because there will be a lot of talk for years to come about Obi Toppin. And I'll say it again. I believe we will miss what he brought to that second unit in most games he played. We will surely miss that with a second unit that he gave, because it was two absolutely different rhythms with Julius Randle. We played in at one pace with Obi, and quickly we play at another completely different pace that threw off defenses, and we don't have that anymore. At least from Obi Toppin, of course.
Even just giving the crowd a lift. I mean, a player like Obi coming in, everybody gets excited and gets the crowd a lift, which then lifts the team. Just before I forget, Rafa,
go ahead.
I totally agree with you about what you said about Tibbs. I know you don't believe me, but I will. When Tibbs does things wrong, I will call him out on it. The only reason I stick up for him is because I think a lot of the stuff that people do call him out in is unfair. And I'll stick up for
some
him.
Some of it is unfair, but it's...
Some of it's just feeding a narrative, you know, of, yes, we know you hate Tibbs, right? So you're just looking for every single tiny little thing that you can hit him with. And some of it's just crazy that I read, but...
It is, but...
That thing you were saying about the keeping Obi on a leash, I totally agree with you. You shouldn't be afraid of making mistakes, and Obi sometimes came in kind of, you know, he was half an eye on the game and half an eye on Tibbs, waiting for him to kind of get pulled out of the game, that's never going to work if you don't have the confidence just to go out and make mistakes and learn from it, then absolutely. And I think that was one of Tibbs's major flaws, but so I just thought I'd get that out of there. Just checking whether you were recording that as well. You hit record, yeah. You've got that.
I will delete this. I will delete this part of the recording. So, guys, this is a preview without Omar working as our buffer here between Tibbs.
Yeah.
This will be the podcast for the rest of the period we do this. We talked about this throughout the podcast, basically. But I was going to talk about the Knicks preview for the season. But we discussed everything there is to discuss about the Knicks so far. So let's just keep it short. Where the Knicks end up this year? Playoffs, play-in, win it all? No. Itching a bit.
Well, like, I really want, like, a lot of people said, what would be success this season? And I think, you know, again, I know it would even set as a step back. I think you want to get into the... You know, back in the decades ago when the Knicks were just a lot for the playoffs and it was all about what you could do when you got there. That's the kind of place we need to get back to. I know that's not what a lot of people want, and a lot of people just want winning titles and, you know, what can we do? Make this big trade to get so and so to win a title. But sometimes standing still is progress, you know, and I want it to get to a point where, you know, you can get to mid-season and start to kind of lower like Randall's minutes and Brunson's minutes and you know, get to a point where, you know, we can rest players and certain, you know, because we know that, you know, the playoffs will be there at the end of the year. Now, that's been complicated by the fact that, you know, 7th and 8th doesn't get you there anymore. There is a bit more pressure to kind of keep the regular season rolling. But I mean, looking at the East, it's obviously very top heavy at the moment with the Bucks and the Celtics. But I think underneath that, I mean, I think it's going to be a scrap for the other places. And, you know, although the Heat seemingly you know, have got worse with the trades going out and nothing coming back in, with Dame not coming back in. You know, you can never write the Heat off, and you know, they plucked these undrafted players out of thin air last year, and you know, they can do so again. They've got a couple of good young players at the draft. And yeah, they've got the best coach in the league, you know, and you can never write them off. But obviously the Cavs look like they've got a bit stronger. I don't like a lot of the talk about, well, we beat the Cavs easily in the playoffs, so therefore we're better than them, sort of thing. You know, the Cavs have got a really strong roster, and you know, they're a year down the line, and they will have realized where their mistakes came in, that they made in the playoffs. They've got a young and experienced coach. And yeah, I think, you know, Donovan Mitchell will have another year under his belt with the team. And yeah, I think they'll be good. I think they'll come in third. What happens with the Sixers, nobody knows. But if they stay as they are, even without Harden, if Embiid stays where he is, I think they've got enough to come in fourth. So I could see the Knicks coming in fifth, and which would be fine. I'd be happy enough with that. And I'd like to obviously get to the second round again and just make it more competitive. So I think my kind of, maybe not expectation, but what I would see as a successful season would be to get to the second round, but this time a bit more competitive to get there, because I think if we are coming in fifth, then we're going to meet one of the big two, and yeah, that's going to be a struggle to get past them.
So, and what about wins? Do you think we stay with a 47 mark, or we can reach 50?
I think something around there. Yeah, high 40s, something like that. There. Yeah, I can't see us getting over 50. I think somewhere between maybe 47, 50.
Okay, so yeah, it's where I'm at for probably around the 40 somethings, 40 high 40s. So I agree with you that it's top heavy. The Bucks and the Celtics seem like the clear one and two. The Celtics first, Bucks, whatever. The clear one and two. And the rest for me is a bit of a toss up. I have people are okay, the Cavaliers are going to be this tremendous team, but all the talk you hear is that Donovan Mitchell wants out. It might be dust just trying to just up in the air with no valid point to it, but there's might be something there. And it's still a young team, so they won 51 games last year, which is pretty amazing, but maybe they drop down a bit or stay under with the high 40s as well in terms of wins. The Sixers, I don't see the Sixers winning 54 games without James Harden, just Embiid. So I think they will drop off a bit as well. The Nets, last year they finished sixth and they dropped a lot. That's why we ended up finishing fifth. So I don't know what the Nets are going to be this year. I don't see them as a playoff team, maybe a play-in. And yeah, the Raptors also, we don't know what to expect from them. So there's a lot of confusion around the East Conference right now. But I can, from one and two, I think it's set, Bucks and Celtics, or Celtics and Bucks. But then you have the rest from three to eight, probably, or to 10th, obviously. I think it's a bit of a toss-up. It's one bad stretch from any team, like losing five or six games in a row at a bad time, and you come tumbling down into the play-ins, because it was close. The Knicks had 47 wins, the Hawks had 41, and the Nets 45. So they struggled, and they were still around. The Hawks can have a bounce back year. We don't know the Heat. We don't know what to expect from the Heat in the regular season again. So I see us finishing around the same area, 5-4, maybe 3 if we end up, if a good run happens, like another 9-game winning streak or something, so at the right time. So I think it's a bit of a toss-up from 3 down. It's it's hard to predict something from here.
I can see the Knicks having a slow start. They've got a really tough schedule early on, and I know you don't put much stock in preseason, but they don't look ready to go, put it that way, from day one. So I can see them having a slow start. But I mean that's quite normal for the Knicks, you know, in the last few years.
There's a lot of adjustment as well, right? Yeah. Randall's coming back from injury. Do you have that old issue with the second unit as well? So you need to get it going. You need to get your juices flowing to finish strong. If we're going into the playoffs, and I believe we will, I would much rather finish strong than start strong and finish slow. So it's obvious. That's why most of the teams end up like that. But there was a lot of moves from many teams. Like we don't know what the Bulls are going to be with all those, all that's happening. And so it's the East is a toss up.
Put it this way: what team around the whole NBA would you see as being a lock to be rock bottom this year? It's hard. I mean, you got like the Rockets and the Spurs. And
Spurs can win it all with Wembanyama.
Spurs have got Wembanyama. They've got Pop still as coach. The Pistons and the Rockets have got a lot of young talent. They've also got two very experienced, high level coaches as well. Not saying they're going to do anything playoff wise, but certainly I can't see them scrapping around like 15 wins or anything like that. It's really hard. Really hard to find a team that you think are just going to be terrible.
I don't think there's a team that's going to be that bad. That Pistons last season bad with 15 wins because of the injuries. Yeah. So I think there are teams that will stay bad. I think there are teams who will get worse. The Wizards, because that Jordan Poole experience will be a roller coaster ride for them.
Yeah,
you've seen it. 40 against the Knicks, 2 against someone else, 3 or 4. How many points?
One for 14, against... I think it was.
Yeah, it's ridiculous. And then you have the Blazers, who are without Damian Lillard. It's Reddish's time to shine. I don't know where he is. I don't think he's with the Lakers, by the way.
That's right. No Knox as well. But no, even the Blazers have got a lot of good young players as well, and they've now got Robert Williams. They've got Ayton. They've got, they've got some good young talent coming through as well. So I mean, even them, I don't think are going to be the worst. Are going to be you look in the schedule and you just think, right, we've got that one. I don't think there's one team in the league that I'm going to look at in the next playing. It's certainly early on, and I'm going to be thinking that's a guaranteed win.
Yeah, it's going to be a hell of a season. It's you don't have that awful team ready to tank anymore.
Yeah.
So we've talked about the bottom. Let's talk about the highs. So I want to know. We do this every year to start the season. Our MVP. The league MVP, of course, not the Knicks MVP, but the league MVP, the two teams coming out of one of the East, one of the West, and the NBA champion. I can get it right out of the way. MVP is Nikola Jokic, the best damn player in the world, in the league. Don't even argue that. Nuggets and Bucks will meet in the final, and the Nuggets will take it again. I'm sorry, Damian Lillard, but it's not the year to get it. It's Nuggets. If they continue like this, they're too well-oiled machine to even try like this. I don't know. It's not Beal with the Suns that won't stop Jokic from killing everyone.
Well, I kind of agree with you, but the only thing is, does winning a title take a little bit of the edge off your team? The Bucks had a little bit of it last year, I thought. Excuse me. Where now that the pressure's gone, you've got your ring. does that take a little bit of the edge off the regular season anyway? And
I get it. They have, is there a better chance? Is there another team that's constructed like this that can win multiple titles in a row?
Mm-hmm.
They don't lose anyone. They keep their main players. They're all happy. They're all in. That's the chance to win another one.
Yep.
Like win another MVP, regular season MVP if you want to, and win the title. It's just that simple.
Yeah.
Well, it's not simple, but you know, you get it.
I think the Suns could be the only one that could to stop that. Yeah. Celtics wise, it's hard to tell.
If Porzingis wins a title, my God. I can't.
But you've got Holiday as well. Both of them are obviously big injury risks. And when you take Porzingis out of that situation, you really only... Well, you've got Horford, who's on his last legs. You've got Luke Kornet. I don't know. I never really trust the Celtics. I know that... obviously, they've got Tatum. Tatum, I think if the Celtics roll, then Tatum could be an MVP candidate. I think certainly the Bucks, the Celtics. I know it's not a big shout or anything. Oh, yeah. Bucks, the Celtics, the Suns, and the Nuggets. I can't see anybody other than those four.
Pick one from each. You have to pick one.
Well, if you're going for the take. I just like to point out that I picked the Nuggets last preseason to win the title.
Victory lap. Yes.
I guess it's the first prediction I've ever got right. If you're going for the Nuggets, I'll go for the Bucks then.
Okay, just to try. Yeah,
just to get a bit.
There's a bottle of whiskey on the line here, right?
Yeah.
That's how it is. Yeah. Okay. So this is it. We're back. Me and Alex will main the ship as best as we can.
Can't wait for Wednesday.
Sorry for any. Yeah, we have our tech. Yeah, ready for Wednesday. That game is coming up. The Celtics. So I'm looking forward to it, but I'm not looking forward to it. But mm-hmm. Yeah. So basketball will be back. The NBA. Not preseason. Regular season is back or will be back, and we're back as well. Again, man down because Omar is on hiatus. Yeah. Shout out to Omar. He's still our tech guy. We've been bothering him a lot with tech issues because another me and Alex are probably our tech whizzes. We are just. Schmoes.
I'll put the effort in, but yeah, I just don't have the talent. Yeah,
old man yelling at cloud. So yeah, though, this wraps up the first episode of the season, episode 68 overall. Hope you guys enjoy this. Be sure to check out our content on Twitter when me and Alex will be losing sanity over arguing with people.
Mostly you, Rafa.
No, I've been in hiatus as well. I'm back on Twitter. I'm still friendly. There's no RJ disrespect, so I'm good. Be sure to check us again on Twitter at Worldwide Knicks Podcast. Again, check Omar's stuff on deepcoversports.com. deepcoversports.com. That's where he posts everything sports related. Still much talking with us, giving us tips and pointers on how to not betray Julius Randle on this spot. So yeah, shout out. Well, see you guys next week, hopefully with some wins for the Knicks. For next episode, we'll be back with predictions for the week because it's still very raw. Let's see what the Knicks are in this first week. So see you guys later on Twitter.